Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
12 of Europe's biggest soccer clubs have agreed to establish a Super League despite widespread criticism of the plans. A statement from the new competition said AC Milan, Arsenal, Atletico Madrid, Chelsea, Barcelona, Inter Milan, Juventus, Liverpool, Manchester City, Man United, Real Madrid and Tottenham Hotspur have all joined as founding clubs. Well, on the line, I have former Ireland and Liverpool player Mark Lawrenson and former Ireland and Manchester United player Kevin Moran. Good morning to you both. Mark, what do you make?
I think, like anybody, and I would have thought Kevin would be the same, it's all about greed. And, you know, some of the teams like your Real Madrid and your Barcelonas, I'm told they're hundreds of millions of pounds in debt, so you can see why they want it. And also, five of the six English clubs, apart from Tottenham, are all owned by, four with Americans and one with Russians. And they're not interested in football, they're just interested in the money. So it's going to be very, very interesting. The only thing I think maybe, is this might be a negotiating tool on behalf of these clubs to get a bigger slice of the pie, maybe maybe in terms of where you play at home, you know, and all that kind of thing in England.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, I heard that theory, but then JP Morgan, the investment bank, confirmed there just before we came on air at 10 o'clock that they were involved. So it just sounds as though it's gone a bit too far down the line maybe to be a bit of a tactic. Just before we talk more about the Super League, I see Spurs have confirmed that they've sacked Jose Mourinho. Were you expecting that?
It's not unexpected, put it that way. 17 months, he's not really done it, I'm afraid. He'll get a nice payoff and he'll be off in the sun very shortly.
Yeah, he had a row with management for refusing to take the players to train following Spurs' decision to join the Super League. So this is all related, you could say.
Oh, it's all great fun, isn't it? It's brilliant. Well, I would suggest that didn't really make a great deal of difference because of lately, the form's not been very, very good at all. They don't look like they're going to finish in the top four. They might win the Carabao Cup. But for Daniel Levy, the guy who runs Tottenham, Joe Lewis is the owner, I don't think it's good enough.
Kevin, can I bring you in here? Because it is hard to find anyone who agrees with the idea of this new Super League. I mean, do you think it'll come to fruition?
I hope it doesn't. They've gone a long way. You know, this has been talked about for years and years. So they've been putting an awful lot of work in behind the scenes. But it's only now, when it comes to this stage, that you see the onslaught against it, you know. And, you know, the fans have really come out as well. And I think the fans have even come out even more so as regards about this. Also, the Premier League, what are they going to do about it? So I'm hoping that, you know, by the time these six clubs look at it, they'll realise, wow, we didn't think it was going to be as bad as this. We thought we might get away with this, you know, and I just truly hope that that would not be the case.
Yeah, I was reading Eamon Sweeney this morning in the Irish Independent, and he says, what's the Premier League anyway? One of its major achievements has been to make fans worship wealth. The billionaires at the top hear the demands for a war chest, they suffer opprobrium for not spending enough and reach the understandable conclusion that money is what really matters to supporters. So what is the real difference between this plan and the Premier League as it stands? Mark?
Well, this plan is only taking into consideration six clubs. You know, the Premiership has got relegation, it's got promotion, it can embrace anybody to come into that particular league. This is just an elite league just made up for the greed of a number of clubs that just want everything for themselves. You know, so yes, when the Premier League came out first, there was a lot of talk about that. You know, oh, this is elitist as well. But you look at it, it's been the most popular league in the world by a country mile. The supporters love it. The fans love it. That is not the case with this.
And Mark, what do you think?
No, exactly the same. And basically, these fixtures, they'll still be the Premier League from what I believe, but the fixtures will be played in midweek. And lots of them, but you know the fans aren't stupid. You know the grassroots of supporters, and they realise that a lot of top players who are now applying the trade in the Premier League have come from lower division teams. So what happens to all the lower division teams as well? I think this is just going to go on and on, and I just don't see at the end of it actually that it will happen. I think also, I think Boris Johnson is now saying on behalf of the country and the cabinet and parliament that he'll do it, he'll make it his big issue not for the six teams to go. So I just can't say. I mean, the bottom line is, you know, when your researcher said to me, "What's your reaction?" I just went green, and I still very much, I think most people are all of that opinion, that it's all about getting more money. The other thing as well, and there's still a thing with the Premier League, is that there are 20 teams, as you know, every season. But if 14 of those teams got together, they could actually move the Premier League and go say, "Well, I'll tell you what, next February we're going to go and play in Taiwan, and then maybe in March we'll go and play in China." And it's absolutely mad, but it's really basically, it's all, for me, it's a majority of foreign owners who just see a permanent, almost like a permanent gas line of pound notes.
But if it does go ahead, despite all of the opposition, what does that say about the power of the billionaire owners and the power of the clubs that they own?
It would say absolutely everything about them, that the money that they own is basically, is the power. But, you know, don't forget they're going to be fighting UEFA, they're going to be fighting FIFA as well. And if it looks like it was, say, in the next couple of weeks, I mean, the Premier League can just turn around and say, "You know what, well, we'll forget about the Premier League this year. You're all being relegated." Not that that make any difference, because obviously they still have the European League that they're going to have themselves. But there are things that we can do to actually make them realise that, you know, this game is owned by the supporters. Although it feels like at the moment that it's owned by these unbelievably, fabulously wealthy guys, it's all about the supporters. And once you've not got them, as we've seen already with the pandemic and the fact that no supporters have been allowed into any games apart from yesterday's semi-final, the game could die quite easily.
Mm. And Kevin, will it be hard for players to turn down the big paychecks involved in this Super League? I mean, you mightn't get to play in a World Cup, but we know, Everyone knows it's a short career. There's a limited amount of time to make money. Why, you know, would you turn this down if you were a young fella in this scenario?
Well, they don't even have a choice in the matter. You know what I mean? So it's not going to be a question of them turning it down. They don't have a choice. They have to play. That's it. Yes, it could be more advantageous for them. They might get more money. But it's not going to be a question of you've got to make as much money as you can. They are doing that already. All these players that are involved in the six clubs you're talking about are on mega money at the moment. So it's not a question of them thinking, "Oh, I have to do this because I'm going to need the money by the end of my career." They're already totally 100% financially secure by the end of their career, if they're in those six teams, which they are. It's just about the greed of the owners. That's all it is. What fascinates me is that these guys are all billionaires. You just think, when is enough enough? When do you ever stop and think, what's the best thing here for the game? You know, what's the best thing for the supporters? Not what is the best thing for me and my shareholders.
All right, Kevin, thank you very much for joining us. Kevin Moran and Mark Lawrenson there. You probably will have heard this clip. This is the reaction of the Man United player Gary Neville when he was talking about this yesterday. But I just think you can't hear it enough. Let's take a listen to what he had to say.
You know the motivation is, it's greed. Deduct them all points tomorrow, put them at the bottom of the league and take the money off them. Seriously, you have got to stamp on this. This is it's criminal. It's a criminal act against football fans in this country. Make no mistake about it. This is the biggest sport in the world. This is the biggest sport in this country. And it's a criminal act against the fans. Simple as that. Deduct points, deduct their money and punish them. The bottle merchants. You never hear from the owners of these clubs. Absolute bottle merchants. They've got no voice. And then they'll probably hide in a few weeks and say it was nothing to do with them. Oh, they were only talking about it. Seriously, in the midst of a pandemic, an economic crisis, football clubs at National League level going bust nearly, furloughing players, clubs on the edge in League One and Two, and these lot are having Zoom calls about breaking away and basically creating more greed.
Gary Neville joke. There. Joke. I want to bring in former player and RTE soccer analyst Alan Cawley. Gavin Cooney, sports writer with the42.ie, is here as well. Alan, what do you make of the notion and what Gary Neville had to say?
Yeah, I would agree totally, Claire, with what Gary Neville had to say yesterday. And I think we've seen that across the board in terms of social media and the reaction to this. It's just been widespread condemnation. And when I heard this news yesterday, there's been a lot of discussion about this over the last number of years. But when I heard this yesterday, I wasn't sure myself as in, first of all, was it true? But I suppose as the story has evolved over the last number of hours, and you mentioned the question there, Mark, and his answer said that maybe it was a power play. They're actually well down the line in terms of the planning of this, and it seems as though they're pressing ahead.
Yeah, it looks that way, doesn't it? It doesn't look like a power play.
Oh, no, absolutely not. When you look at the plans, you look at the European Club Association at the moment as well, and the executives that are on that, who are all involved with those 12 clubs, they're beginning to step away from that now as well, that association. So, as I say, all these executives are well down the road in terms of the plan under this. The money that's involved, the obscene money that's involved as well, you mentioned JP Morgan at the bank, and it's a sad day, really, Claire, because it is pure greed. It's pure. It goes against everything, I suppose, the football stands for in terms of the fans and the loyalty and association that people have or affiliation towards clubs. These owners have absolutely no connection or no affiliation whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Now, you can understand from their point of view, maybe in terms of if there is any, I wouldn't use the word sympathy, but if there is any reasoning as to why they would do this, these clubs, these 12 involved that have been named, are heavily loaded with debt up and towards something like 5.6 billion towards debt. So maybe they see this as some sort of play towards maybe closing the gap on that debt and obviously gaining some of that back. But if it's to the detriment of losing your fans and alienating the fans of what the club is so-called built on, I think it's a dangerous road they're going down. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, we'll come back to that notion in a minute. But Gavin, just want to take a step back now and talk about what we know about how this thing will work.
Yeah, so the Super League, there are 15 founder clubs. 12 of those have been named. There are another three slots left. We think for Paris Saint-Germain and the two big German clubs, Borussia Dortmund and Bayern Munich, but they haven't committed to it yet. And they would effectively own the league. So at the moment, UEFA run the Champions League and distribute the money around Europe, both to the clubs and then even to the smaller associations, including the FAI here in Ireland. The clubs just want to run that themselves now. So they'll have 15 founder clubs who will be in that league every year. They, no matter how badly they perform, they'll still collect their paychecks. And then they're going to open up, supposedly, another five spots for teams to qualify from across Europe. But again, we're very flimsy on detail. Like, I mean, that statement came out, it was after midnight Central European time last night when it came out. And I think that you've hit on this, you hit on in your introduction that things are gone a little bit too far here. That's my understanding of it as well. I mean, European football over the last 25 years has been a negotiation between UEFA and the clubs. The clubs are like the angry kid in the school ground threatening to take their ball away when they don't get their way. And they had we had come to an arrangement where the Champions League would be expanded from 2024 to give these big clubs more meaningless games but more money. That was rubber stamped. These clubs approved that last Friday, including the chairman of that is the now the vice chairman of the European Super League. And then everything changed over the weekend. There was an executive quoted in The Guardian that said all of the things suddenly went nuclear. And it just, there seems to be a momentum behind this that I think some of the clubs themselves behind it aren't fully in control of.
And what have you been hearing this morning about Mourinho and Spurs and his sacking being connected to this?
I don't know. I'm not sure of the veracity of that. What you said at the top where he was sacked for supposedly refusing to train as a protest against
this. I think he might have been on the way out anyway.
Yeah, I mean, Jose Mourinho would always say, I have principles, but if you don't like these, I've got others. Mark Lawrenson is right in terms of Mourinho probably deserved to be sacked for the team's performances, but the timing is bizarre. They have a cup final on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And the whole point of Jose Mourinho is that he'll win cups. That's what he's good at. So to sack him 6 days before that cup final, just as the club are getting pelters amid this, that timing is very, very curious to me.
Okay, Alan, what do you make of that news today?
About Mourinho?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite surprising, particularly the timing of it, Claire, as Gavin says, with the cup final on Sunday, come out with this announcement. Whether there's some truth in the fact that I'm hearing those rumours as well that he was standing up for his principles on this European Super League, but I think he was probably heading out the door anyway. It is very, very surprising, but nothing should surprise us in football at the moment. Mm-hmm. It's an absolute bonkers last 24 hours, it really is.
Can I just go back to something you were saying there about, you know, the greed of these guys, and it's, you know, just going back to what Gary Neville was saying. Like, are we surprised that big football clubs are greedy? Look at what they charge for their ticket prices. Look at what they charge 7-year-old kids for their kits. Greed is good in this game, as Eamon Sweeney says today in the Irish Independent. This is what they're at. This is their business. This is their bottom line.
Yeah, and that's been coming for a long time. And you could argue, Claire, you referenced the point of the Premier League, the introduction of that, and obviously Eamon's article as well touches on that. But I think the fact that that's slowly been happening in football and day by day, the fans have been coming disillusioned, especially throughout this pandemic. And you look at, I suppose, what's gone on in the last 18 months in society in general. And fans have generally, I feel, as though becoming disillusioned. This could be the straw that breaks the camel's back, though, because money has become so obscene in football. And I genuinely think if they were to go go ahead with this, and it looks like they're pushing ahead with this. This could be the breaking point. It's the most seismic moment I can remember anyway in football history. It's unbelievable news. It's incredible news. Whether it happens or not, I don't know. But the fact that they're pressing ahead with this, regardless of the widespread condemnation, I felt yesterday that when this news broke and you had Gary Neville's reaction and football's reaction, I thought maybe they might second-guess this and think about it. The statement was due to be released, I think, at 9:30. As Gavin said, it wasn't released until after midnight. But they're absolutely pressing ahead with this, and it's seismic.
Yeah, there's been no sign, Gavin, has there, of a backtrack here, given the response?
No, they're out in the open now, and but they don't care about the response. Like, you're right what you said. I mean, football back in the 1980s abandoned whatever thin regulations they had to protect them, to protect clubs, which are meant to be, you know, community and social enterprises, to protect them from falling into private hands. That changed 40 years ago. Clubs are run for profit, so this is the logical step. Like, Gary Neville is right in what he said there, but he's also saying it as a former Premier League footballer, as the owner of a lower league club, and he's saying it on Sky Sports. Like, all of that is a breakaway from what football used to be in the 1980s, and it's just the more money that comes into it, the fewer and fewer clubs and millionaires want to share it around. So it's a kind of a logical step. So what happens next is like, I mean, you can't. It's a multi-billion-dollar question at this point.
Yeah, and Alan, just one of the implications for us here. I mean, if you look at Matt Doherty at Spurs, like, is there a possibility that a player like him playing in a Super League could be prevented from playing international football?
Well, I think this is what we're being faced with now, Claire, in terms of the reaction from UEFA and FIFA. They're threatening bans on players that take part in this Super League, that they won't be allowed to play international football. Again, that comes down to the fact that I would like to think players would always think the pinnacle is playing for your country, but at the end of the day, the clubs pay your wages, and if they're part of the clubs that are pressing ahead with this, I wonder what choice the players would have. Was there any consultation towards the players towards this? I doubt it very much so.
Well, Kevin Moran was saying there earlier that, you know, the players won't have a choice in this.
No, absolutely not, and that's the sad thing about it. But also, clearly, like you mentioned, the money and what's on offer for these players if they were to go in the Super League, they're already, like, the money and the wages shouldn't even matter to them at this point, because they're already getting well paid. And I wouldn't be critical of any player that's getting well paid in terms of the wages they earn. But I think we've already seen UEFA planning legal attacks against this. And it's going to come down to the governing bodies. Mm-hmm. And it's going to get very messy there. It's going to get really messy.
Well, look,
I think the one thing as well also with it, in terms of the Premier League and what we're talking about here compares to this, and I do get the argument against what Gavin is saying, Sky Sports and the Premier League and all that stuff, but there is fair competition in the sense that you can come through the leagues and eventually get into the Premier League and maybe go on and compete in the Champions League. This is a slower shot for just elite teams. Now, the criteria of these elite teams, I would love to know, because Spurs are hardly an elite team. Arsenal are hardly an elite team at the moment. Chelsea, new money. Man City, new money. Liverpool, Man United.
Okay, Spurs fans, that was Gavin who snickered there. That was not me. Reuters are just reporting that the 12 clubs behind the breakaway European Super League have called on UEFA and FIFA to open talks with them on their new competition. Now, what does that mean?
So the crucial dynamic to look out for here now is what FIFA do. So UEFA have strongly rejected what's happening here, and FIFA stood steadfastly beside them when this Super League reared its head in January, saying that we will ban any player who plays in this Super League from FIFA competitions. FIFA went quiet yesterday afternoon amid rumours that they were potentially backing the breakaway clubs. Now, they did finally bring out a statement yesterday evening after the late night statement from the clubs. It was weak, in my opinion. It said it disproved of, it didn't specify this breakaway league, it mm-hmm. disproved of any breakaway league, which seals off clubs from the rest of Europe. But the clubs can point to these five spots that will be open through domestic qualifiers. So that's the significant power dynamic here at play, whether the world governing body FIFA back the European governing body UEFA. There's no love lost between them historically, so I think that's the dynamic that we have to look out for now.
Let's see what happens. And La Liga have a statement out saying that they strongly condemn the recently published proposal for a breakaway elitist European competition that attacks the principles of open competition and sporting merit, which are at the heart of domestic and European football pyramid. Now, does that give you hope when you hear something like that, Alan?
Yeah, well, I think the clubs, the Premier League, come out with a similar statement. La Liga, Serie A will probably do the same, but I think it's worth mentioning as well the fact that the French club, PSG, who are getting a lot of criticism in terms of their ownership, but they've come out against it and they're not going to take part, so they say. And also Bayern Munich, the German club, but they've always been built on good morals anyway. So I don't know how you can call it a European Super League without those clubs either.
Okay, a lot of text coming in on this, as you can imagine. A lot of the fans of the ambitious Premier League clubs do put pressure on the club's multi-billionaires to fork out obscene wages and bring in players they see as giving them the edge over bitter rivals. That's my point. Like, the fans, we say that this is a betrayal of the fans. The fans expect massive investment, don't they?
Yeah, 15 years ago, 16 years ago, Liverpool were owned by a local millionaire called David Moores, whose family was steeped in the club and he genuinely cared about them. But he had to sell up because the Liverpool fans saw that Chelsea had fallen into the hands of Roman Abramovich and said, we need private capital to spend money on wages and transfers to keep pace. And it's just an arms race. You know, there are clubs who have signed up to this Super League who, you know, it was reported that Man City and Chelsea aren't that keen on the idea because they probably have enough money in the pockets of their oligarch owners. But they can't afford to be left behind.
Yes,
you know?
And they have to be in if everyone else is doing
it. That kind of pressure would come on PSG and the others as well.
That's an interesting message from Ben. Soccer was started by the poor and stolen by the rich. And Alan, go ahead, yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing, Claire. Yeah. As Gavin said, he's right what he's saying there. But if it's to the detriment now of the fans, that this could be the straw that breaks the camel's back. Whether it will, I don't know. But I would like to think it would, because when is enough enough? You know, like how far can we go? Like, everything you say there in terms of the greed that's involved and the money, and you're right what you say, and it's one trying to outdo the other, and where do you draw the line? But there has to be a line drawn somewhere, because I genuinely feel there's a sense out there, though, that the disillusioned fans and people, and this will be such an insult to them. And you can see that in terms of Gary Neville is steeped in Manchester United. Jamie Carragher came out with something similar with Liverpool. You have Mark Lawrence and Kevin Moore. Like, the one thing you're guaranteed in football is disagreements along the lines of people support their own clubs, but everybody is in agreement on this, as far as I can see.
Okay, and we'll leave it to this texter who says this will really annoy people now, soccer fans. Soccer is dead, thank God for the GAA.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.